Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Assalamu alaikum, kia ora, and may the peace and blessings of God Almighty be upon you all. Welcome to We Are One, a live program dedicated to promoting peace and serving humanity. I'm Farhan, a member of the Ahmadi Muslim Jamaat in Masterton. This program is brought to you by the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat New Zealand, a community of former refugees now settled in the beautiful Wairarapa region. We are deeply grateful to the people of Wairarapa and beyond for their support and friendship as we grow together as one community. Thank you for tuning in. Let's work hand in hand towards unity, peace, and community service. I will be starting our today's session with Talawat, recitation of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ جنات وَجَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. جزاكم الله.
السلام عليكم. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan the accursed. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. And obey Allah and the Messenger that you be shown mercy. And vie with one another in asking for forgiveness from your Lord and for a paradise whose price is the heavens and the earth, prepared for the God-fearing. Those who spend in prosperity and adversity, and those who suppress anger, and pardon men, and Allah loves those who do good. And those who, when they commit a foul deed or wrong themselves, remember Allah and implore forgiveness for their sins. And who can forgive sins except Allah? And do not persist knowingly in what they have done. It is these whose reward is forgiveness from their Lord and gardens beneath which rivers flow, wherein they shall abide. And how good is the work of those who work. Jazakallah.
Next up, I'll be playing a speech that has the title Ideal Parents, Models of Righteousness.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. When it comes to the teaching of our children, all sorts of methods and technologies have been used throughout the ages to promote their education and learning. Chalkboards, textbooks, computers. Parenting is thought of as a very daunting sometimes and very complex process. But in this verse of the Holy Quran, Allah Ta'ala tells us that for effective parenting, it is often actually the simple and most natural methods which are the most effective. The parent's righteous model at home is in fact a classroom for learning all good virtues. The best methods are our own righteous examples. These are the methods and technology that the Quran and Allah Ta'ala have told us to use. The topic of my speech is Ideal Parents, Models of Righteousness, and the verses that I open with translate as follows. And those who say, Our Lord, grant of our wives and children the delight of our eyes, and make us a model for the righteous. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, elaborates on this idea of being a righteous model for our children. He says, and I quote, I pray for my children and see to it that they follow broad principles, etiquette, and teachings. This is all, nothing more. Then Masih Maud alayhi salam continues, it says, I place my entire trust in Allah the Exalted, the seed of goodness that is present in each of them, according to their nature, will flourish when the time comes. End quote. So to teach righteousness, all we have to do as parents really is to practice it ourselves, greeting others with a smile in the presence of our children, to speak a kind word to a stranger, if we see an animal, to show our compassion. This is our way to teach these virtues to our children. If we want to teach our children honesty, then we must practice it and speak truth ourselves in the face of pressure. To teach our children how to accept responsibility, we have to acknowledge our own mistakes rather than offering up excuses. If a waiter gets an order wrong, instead of getting frustrated, set the example of patience and acceptance for your children. And the beauty of this approach is that it actually costs you no extra time. It is not dependent on any weekend programs at the mosque or activities of auxiliaries. Too often we rely on the classrooms of the mosque and the classrooms of the auxiliaries and forget about the classroom that we have for them at our own home through our own example. To teach me the importance of Fajr prayer, my own father would make it a point to walk across the house to do wuzu in my bathroom, even though he had one in his own room, knowing that it would wake me up for Fajr. Rabba ja'alni muqima salati wa min zuriyati. O Allah, make me observe prayer and my children too. Hazrat Musleh Maud radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu once said that if we establish prayer in the childhood of our children, even if the child were to become a Satan, a Shaitan, and commit all sorts of evil, even still he can come back to a life of goodness and righteousness. The key there was that in his childhood, his parents established in him the love of Salat, so that even if he were to veer away from God, he would still have the chance to come back. Furthermore, Hazrat Musleh Maud said that parents who do not instill the habit of congregational salat in their children are in fact their murderers. These, my dear guests, are very heavy words. Parents will admonish and even discipline children for worldly training and education, but freely grant exemptions for lapses in prayer. When Hazrat Musleh Maud is saying that it is criminal of us to do that, and we are guilty of their murder. When two parents have a disagreement at home, that is the opportunity to teach our children how to deal with conflict. Hazur Akhtar Sayyid Allah Ta'ala bin Nasr al-Aziz said that for the sake of your children, bear all sorts of shortcomings in your spouse. Offer your children an atmosphere that is good for them. And if the husband and wife live amicably, this is the example that our children can learn from. Sometimes those who preach to others are dealing with a tarbiyat crisis in their own homes. Remember that your family are also members of the Jamaat. The Holy Prophet first preached to his own family before he preached outside. Huzur-e Anwar Allah Ta'ala said, quote, "Do not lose your children while attempting to reform others. That should be your more foremost concern," end quote. The home is a madrasa where children form their convictions and learn from their parents. Never underestimate the power and influence of even your small deeds at home, your small gestures and comments. Sometimes it's these tiny virtues that can leave, in fact, an even more lasting and profound impression on your children. Some parents, out of a misplaced sense of righteousness, speak ill of Jamaat volunteers in front of their children and poison their hearts with their own tongues. We think we are only venting, but our children believed us and became bitter against the Jamaat. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, quote, "Every child is born innocent. It is their parents who shape their faith into a believer or disbeliever." Hazur Ayyadallah Ta'ala bin Nasr al-Aziz said that, quote, "It is essential that Ahmadi parents develop a genuine friendship and mutual trust with their children from the very beginning, and make friendships so that they'll share their conversations from school with you, and you should never, and you should always answer their questions and tell them who they are, why they are who they are, and do that from an early age," says Hazur Ayyadallah Ta'ala, end quote. My dear friends, there are examples of youth before us who were trained well in religious knowledge and education, and even collected trophies at Ijtima. But now they grew up and we saw them to become atheists. So be very careful and listen very carefully to this advice, that children are deeply affected by our examples. The word disciple is derived, the word discipline is derived from disciple. Make your child your companion and he will learn. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he could have built the Kaaba by himself, but the Quran gives us this visual, this imagery of a father and son together raising the foundations of the Kaaba. How can we as fathers apply this lesson in our life today? Hazur Ayyadallah Ta'ala says, quote, "Talk to your children every day and tell them those things that will bring them close to Allah, the Almighty, and His Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam," end quote. So tell your children about God's favors and how He's answered your prayers, so they believe then in a living God. Over meals, over car rides, if you get in the habit of talking openly, you're able to help them through their challenges. The Quran gives us the example of Hazrat Luqman, who endeared his son to him and admonished him with parental words of wisdom. Our speech, our words, are also a deed which we need to give to our children and provide for them. But can we do this if we take out big mortgages, take second jobs, live a lifestyle beyond our means? Because it will take time to be present for our children. In order to relieve ourselves of the responsibility, sometimes we give our children a phone or a device. They say it takes a village to raise a child. But what kind of village have we handed our child to exactly? The same U.S. Surgeon General who has issued a warning label on cigarettes and alcohol now wants to issue a warning label on social media apps that they pose, quote, "a profound risk to the mental well-being of teenagers," end quote. The children themselves have spoken. Teenagers themselves, when surveyed, are now saying that social media has mostly had a negative impact on them. This is their own words, their own testimony. Hazur Ayyadallah Ta'ala bin Nasr al-Aziz said that our children, we should, as parents, extend our friendship to them. And in this example, he uses the example of the Quran, which mentions Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, when God tells him to take four birds and attach them to yourself. And when the time comes, let those birds free, let them come out and leave. And then call them to you, and you'll see that they will say labak, and they'll come back to you. So this is the power of developing a bond of friendship and love with your children, so that later in life, when the time comes for them to leave your vision and your supervision, that when you call on to them, they come back to you like the birds came back to Hazrat Ibrahim. It is sometimes said that we are parents, we live in the West, what can we do? It is very difficult here. But Hazur Ayyad Allah Ta'ala too raised his children here in the West. He raised his children in a Christian majority Ghana in West Africa. His son went to college in the United Kingdom in a Western university. So what did Hazur Ayyad Allah Ta'ala bin Nasr al-Aziz do for his children? In an interview with his son explained that Salat took precedence in all that they did at home. This really stood out before him. In the image of his father, he says he recalls when he was a child, completely cut off from all of his surroundings and absorbed in prayer, left a powerful image etched in his mind from that day forward. Hazur Ayyad Allah Ta'ala gave advice to our daughters and mothers and said that they should begin donning the scarf and head covering early in life. And the earlier they do it, the better. By age 7 to 9, girls should don the scarf, he said. Otherwise, they'll begin to overthink it and start feeling ashamed. Again, when it comes to worldly dealings, like getting up for school, we don't let our child decide on their own. Or if they're not well or if they're sick and they don't want to take medicine, we don't let them make that decision for themselves. We tell them, we're the parent. We know what's best for you. We will tell you what you need to do. So you will need to tell your children sometimes what they need to do. And in this case, we should don our children, our daughters, in modesty from an early age. Children is the best dawlat or treasure that you can give your kids. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that good tarbiyat is the best gift, the best inheritance you can leave for your child. Speak to your children about how God has blessed you and answered your prayers so they believe in a living God that hears and answers and lives. The promised Messiah alayhi salam, in his commentary of the verse of the verse that I recited, and make us a model for the righteous, says that the majority of people don't have children to serve faith, but to establish heirs in this world for themselves and prevent their inheritance from being absorbed by someone else. So the question, my dear brothers, is have we also fallen into this trap ourselves, worried more for our own estate and our earthly names than even our own children? We have to be the best in this world, in this present one, and also the next. But to pursue the world at the expense of faith is ruin. Hazrat Musleh Maud explained in comment on these same verses that when the great Muslim rulers and the great Muslim empires emerged that have now since gone, the Mughal Empire, the Ottoman Empire, so on, when they first sprang forward, they excelled at both faith and the world. But gradually they neglected in instilling piety in their children and only promoted worldly excellence. And as a result, they lost even those very empires, those very estates and their dynasties, as their children became not the delight, but the misery of their parents' eyes. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, quote, "May he be miserable. May he be miserable who worships the dinar and the dirham and the silk robe. He is never satisfied," end quote. The objection is often raised or heard by parents saying, but our children are good. They're civilized, they're well-mannered. But my dear parents, all children are good. The question is not, are our children good? The question is, are they spiritually good? Have they been taught by us a deeper sense of morality and purpose beyond the customary societal definition of good and moral. Do we belong to God or do we belong to the world? This is the question, and it's high time we make a choice. It is as though we are not making the choice. We are just simply sleepwalking through life, attending jalsas and local programs, but really living for the world, only doing some of these things as a sort of backup, a just in case. But we cannot have two loves in our heart at the same time. It's time that we make a choice, and in making that choice, provide an example for our children that a choice must be made, and that God is to be given precedence over the world. A broken parent cannot fix a child. A parent who does not have tarbiyat cannot do the tarbiyat of a child. Our children are not the problem. Our children were never the problem. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, said that when he heard of parents who were harsh to their children and cruel to them, he was deeply hurt. And he likened it to idolatry, to think that the tarbiyat of your children ultimately were somehow in your own hand and not God's. Instead, the real stick a father carries is his righteous conduct. Spare this rod and spoil the child. Before the age of 10, a child in Islam is blameless anyway. What good is hitting and being cruel to the child going to do? Their sins are less than yours. It is a marvel of Islam that upbringing of children in Islam begins before the child is even born. Even when parents meet in private, the Prophet ﷺ taught a prayer for them to pray for righteous and pure offspring. Then when a child is born, the azan is called in his right ear, and takbir in its left ear. And this is, yes, it's a message for the child that it will be prepared as a servant for God. But although it is given in the ear of the child, it is a message also for the father that from this day forward, the spiritual responsibility of your child is yours. Hazrat Hakim Maulvi Nuruddin radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that his mother would recite the Quran to him when he was but in the womb. Hazrat Maulvi Ghulam Rasul Raji ki radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the mothers of his family would do wuzu before breastfeeding their children. Mothers, how far or how close are we to these examples if we wish to give birth to Nuruddin's and Rajikis? Egyptian soldiers were sent to kill the Prophet Moses alayhi salam. In the Quran, gives us the story of how his mother put her trust in Allah and put that child in a basket and cast the child out, but an infant child, into the river Nile, not knowing whether her son is going to live or die. She placed him in a handmade basket and left him to the currents of a vast river which took him away. Just imagine the prayers that must have lifted from her heart at that moment for her child who was in danger. Do we find ourselves in this state of prayer when we cast our children out into the world, not knowing whether they will live or die because of the spiritual choices that they make? It's their spiritual life that is at stake, which is more precious than even their physical life. And like Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, the fate of a nation depends on it. Our parenting efforts are no better than a fragile basket woven by hand, set afloat against impossible odds. That basket can only be made waterproof by dua and the fazl of God. whether our children marry outside or inside, whether they leave the faith or stay in, it's a matter of life or death of a child. It's a moment of truth on our parenting and a day of reckoning for which we are not prepared. Children, when you come of age, you have every freedom of choice. When Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam told his children to board the ark, three of his sons listened and one did not. That child ignored his father's warnings and chose to stay on the mountain, an illusion. And it proved to be a grave mistake. A wave came and Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam saw his son drown before his very eyes. My dear children, God has given you the right of choice. There is no compulsion in religion. There is no compulsion in matters of your marriage choice. God says He will test us as parents and as in faith, not with just loss of wealth, of property, but also with loss of children. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam said that children, even if they remain alive, can become a trial without the grace of God. End quote. Parents say, my children are too young right now, let them get a little older. And then when they're older, they say, they're adults, now they make their own decisions. The thought that this child is too young and that training can be postponed is dangerous and should never be entertained. What we celebrate on Eid al-Adha is not merely the courageous offering of Hazrat Ibrahim of his son, Hazrat Ishmael. What we are actually celebrating is the 12 years of childhood tarbiyat that Hazrat Ibrahim did of Hazrat Ishmael that led him to say the verdict that, O my father, do as you are commanded, you will find me patient. This is the lesson that Allah Ta'ala gives to us in the Holy Quran, that do your children's tribute when they're young. And now we remember that day all over the world. Rabbir ham huma kama rabbiyani sagira. Parents are told in this prayer of the Holy Quran by God that as parents we will only have God's mercy when we do the tarbiyat of our children when they are sagira, when they are sagir, young. So we cannot afford to delay the tarbiyat of our children or to offload this responsibility to anybody else, the jamaat, the auxiliary, or anyone. The Quran says, quote, save our families from the fire. Now tell me, what father would let his child burn in a fire? The Quran also says, quote, kill not your children. By neglecting their upbringing, we become their murderers, says Hazur Ayyad Allah Ta'ala. And those mothers will not find paradise, but hell under their feet. My dear friends, my dear children of Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, your names carry immense significance in history, which we do not even appreciate at this time. We are the children of Sahaba and Tabayin. We are the children of spiritual pioneers. Ahmadiyyat will triumph in time, but will we still be a part of it? Will our children carry our names forward? Will there be Maliks and Latifs, Khans and Chaudhrys? Or will there be new names and ours missing on that day of victory? Our forefathers left everything, the world, their families, their friends, their villages, risking their lives. And now, within a few generations, we risk throwing it all away by preferring worldly prestige over spiritual heritage. Our prophets, the Holy Prophet and Hazrat Masih Maud al-Islam, gave us the example of friendship and love with our children. When Hazrat Fatima anha, would enter the room, the Holy Prophet would stand up. He would take her hand and he would seat her himself at the chair, in the chair that he was sitting in. The Holy Prophet would kiss his children and grandchildren, even in public. He would show no irritation at his children and grandchildren if they were to climb on him, even during Salat, or into his lap during prayers. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, would affectionately give his children rides on his shoulders. He would lovingly tease them and would console them when they were cranky or tired, as little children often are. He would listen to their imaginative stories and ramblings, and in fact would reciprocate with his own playful conversation with them. In these ways, they honored their children and laid the foundation of friendship with them. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, quote, "Honor your children and train them in good manners." Hazur Ayyad Allah Ta'ala said, "Befriend your children, be friendly with them, be tolerant, answer their questions, and show no kind of cruelty to them," end quote. Sometimes we may find that our children are lost to us. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam suffered tremendous grief when the news that his son reached him, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, who was lost to him, that he may have died. But he refused to believe that his son was dead, and he prayed, not knowing whether he was truly dead or alive. He never lost faith that his son may one day come back, as he did. So do we pray? Do we really pray for our children? Or do we not think the circumstances to be dire? Is not God hinting to us over and over in the Quran through these stories that the circumstances of our children are dire? What of the desperate prayers of Hazrat Hajra for her son as she ran in the dry desert back and forth between mountains looking for any trace of water in a barren land without a blade of grass, pleading before God to save her son from death? And God showed her a spring. In fact, nothing truly can happen unless we realize that the lives of our children is what is at stake. And if we pray like it, the promised Messiah alayhi salam said that our children are guests in our home. So our children are an amanat, a trust, and we are their caretakers for a short period of time. They don't belong to us. Rather, we all belong to Allah. We all return to Him. And in a sense, when we die and present ourselves before God, then our children, our enemies, or anyone for that matter that we've met, all of the people in our life, we're all equal at that time before God. And all that remains is how we have treated them. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said, quote, "Your children, pray for your children and your wife, as most of the trials that humans face are because of children." The promised Messiah once again says that most of the trials that humans face in life are because of children, end quote. Our prayers give birth to children, spiritual children, through Allah's grace. We prayed Durood Sharif for centuries, Muslims all over the world. And God gave us Hazrat Masih Maud al-Islam from the spiritual progeny of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Musleh Maud was the marvelous fruit of 40 days of seclusion, reflection, fasting, and devotional prayers. Beautiful children come from beautiful prayers. Endear our children to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by sharing his ahadith and life story with him, so that they can naturally incline to choose him even over you, the way that Hazrat Zaid radiallahu ta'ala anhu chose the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over his own parents. In this also is a lesson for the children. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu chose the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over his own father, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated him like a son. Hazrat Ali took a brave step that his father could not do and chose the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over the example of his own parent. As did Hazrat Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who chose Tawheed and the love of one God over his father who worshipped idols. My dear children and parents, today's idols are not made of statues, but they're made from prestige and wealth. So leave this idol, and if our parents do not, then we should remember the example of Hazrat Ibrahim and choose God over the idols of today. When addressing the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions would say, "Fidaka Abba wa Ummi," may my mother and father be sacrificed for you. Children take strides that exceed those strides that were made by your parents. Mistakes may have been made by us as parents, and the odds that we as parents face may seem overwhelming. But God never forsook Hazrat Hajra. He never forsook the mother of Moses. God never forsook Hazrat Yaqub or any prophets of God for that matter. And He won't forsake us. We have only not to forsake God ourselves. If we truly believe in prayers, we would never abandon them. When we belong to God, then God belongs to us. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said, quote, indeed the prayers of parents for their children are blessed with special acceptance, end quote. Our children are the only thing, my dear friends, that we leave behind. Nothing remains of us but our children. Their tarbiyat will bless us even when we leave this life. If we love our children, then don't we want them to join us in the afterlife? So to teach them, we must practice it. May we be granted children the delight of our eyes, both in this world and the next. Ameen. Summa ameen. Jazakallah.
Well, that was one of the most informative speeches I've ever heard, and it is the right way. Now we'll be playing the Nazm poem to conclude our session for today.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Pakiza manzoom kalam Sayyidina Hazrat Aqdas Masih Maud wa Mahdi Maud alayhi salatu wasalam.
आवाज आ रही है ये फूनो गराफ से ढूंढो खुदा को दिल से ना लाफो गजाफ से ढूंढो खुदा को दिल से نہ لافو گزاف سے، جب تک عمل نہیں ہے دل پاک کو صاف سے، کم تر نہیں یہ مشغلہ بت کے طواف سے، باہر اگر نہیں دل مردہ غلاف سے، حاصل ہی کیا ہے جنگو جدالو خلاف سے، وہ دی ہے کیا ہے جس میں خدا سے نشانہ ہو، تائید حق نہ ہو مدد آسمان نہ ہو، مذہب بھی ایک کھیل ہے جب تک یقین نہیں، مذہب بھی ایک کھیل ہے جب تک یقین نہیں، جو نور سے تہی ہے خدا سے وہ دین نہیں، دین خدا وہی ہے جو دریائے نور ہے، جو اس سے دور ہے خدا سے بھی دور ہے، دین خدا وہی ہے جو ہے وہ خدا نما، دین خدا وہی ہے جو ہے وہ خدا نما، کس کام کا وہ دین جو نہ ہووے گرا کشا، جن کا وہ دین نہیں ہے نہیں ان میں کچھ بھی دم، دنیا سے آگے ایک بھی چلتا نہیں قدم، وہ لوگ جو کہ معرفت حق میں خام ہے، بت ترک کر کے پھر بھی بتوں کے غلام ہے، بت ترک کر کے پھر بھی بتوں کے غلام ہیں, ڈھونڈو خدا کو دل سے نہ لافو گزاف سے, ڈھونڈو خدا کو دل سے نہ لافو گزاف سے, آواز آ رہی ہے یہ فونو گراف سے, ڈھونڈو خدا کو دل سے نہ لافو گزاف سے.
السلام علیکم. Following is the English translation of the selected couplets that were just recited from a poem written by Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salam. This voice is coming from a phonograph. Seek God from your heart, not through pretension. If one's deeds are not from a pure and cleansed heart, this pursuit is no better than circuits around an idol. If the dead heart is not unmasked, what can be gained from hostility and warmongering? What faith is that wherein there is no sign from God, no support by God, no succor from heaven? Religion is a pastime if there is no conviction. Faith that is without divine light is not from God. God's religion is only which is a river of divine light. Whoever is far from it, he is distanced from God too. God's religion is only that which shows the way towards Him. What good is that religion that cannot open the knots? Those who do not follow this religion are frail. They cannot move a single step past worldly things. Those who are feeble in the knowledge of God, they remain enslaved to idols even after abandoning them. Jazakallah.
So that concludes our session for today, and I'll be ending it with some few updates. New refugees in Masatan are starting a new chapter, and Red Cross is right there to help them adjust. Here's how they're making a difference. Job support. Red Cross is helping newcomers find jobs that match their skills, giving them a solid start in the workforce. Education assistant. Young refugees, Red Cross is making it easier to get enrolled in schools, colleges and universities, handling paperwork and offering friendly guidance along the way. With their support, refugee families are finding it easier to settle into their new lives in the community. As we step into the new year, let's carry forward the spirit of togetherness, understanding and hope. Here's to a brighter future where we can continue to support one another, celebrate diversity, and truly embrace the idea that we are one. Thank you. Thanks to all viewers and listeners who were able to join us today. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to reach out to us. Our phone number is 0800-947-526. That's 0800-947-526. Or our email address, info@ahmadiyya.org.nz. That's info ahmadiyya.org.nz. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. This is Farhan Ahmed Khan, and I'll be signing off for today.